Have you ever encountered a hurdle with launching or growing your business? Listen, there are two things that run a business, the back end and your soft skills.
Telling you right now, if these aren't in place, you'll lose clients and you'll lose money. You don't want that? Well, you're in the right place.
Hey, I'm Dana.
Hey, I'm Sarah.
We're your hosts of the Entrepreneur Encounter, and we're going to give you a behind-the-scenes glance into our businesses, give you genuine feedback, tips and tricks, plus occasionally bring on guests that care about supporting you to grow your business organically and nurturing authentic relationships. Are you ready? Welcome back, listeners, to another episode. We're your hosts, Dana
and Sarah.
And today we have Polly with us. She is a mentor who shows entrepreneurs the powerful strategy they hold and how to turn it into something life-changing. She helps them move beyond their labels and embrace all of who they have become to design and create a business which delivers their vision and moves us all a little closer to global well-being. Polly, would you like to take a few minutes to kind of introduce yourself?
So I help people design their businesses, help them sort of like take that idea or that changing idea that they've got and turn it into something that really feels like them rather than something that is like off the shelf or is just a copy of everybody else's business. What I've found is that the people who have a real passion for what they do or they've got this real sense that they can contribute in some way, when they get put into that box of this is how you do business, they end up feeling so frustrated, so not themselves, that they fall out of love with their business. And that's not why you got the idea in the first place. You know, you got the idea because you wanted to do something really positive, because you kind of, even though you might not entirely believe in yourself in your head, you know that you're capable of achieving something and really contributing something. So I've changed what I do over the years, and I've come around to this thing that people are individuals and they need an individual business. They need to have the courage and the strength to say, that might be how you do it. That's not how I'm going to do it. And believe in themselves. I kind of like see myself as a bit of a cheerleader in that respect, because I know you can do it. I know you didn't get this idea unless you could do it. So I work with them to work out how to break the rules and create something that feels good to them, that they don't feel that they have to do what everybody says. You should do this and you should do that. There's no way you're going to do it. Think about it. We live in this incredible world with so much variety. How do we ever get to a place where people said, that's the only way you can grow your business? I can't wrap my head around that.
True.
So I help people do. I help people find their way.
So for our listeners that have been following along, I have a roommate / entrepreneur friend. And when she first moved in and we were navigating like what that looked like with two women and all of her children, she was trying to figure out what she wanted to do. It was a nasty breakup that guided her into living with me in the first place. And I was like, well, you're really good at makeup. Like, why don't you, instead of trying to find like that standard 9-to-5, where she was essentially a stay-at-home parent at the time, that's going to be a big shift and adjustment. Why don't you find something that's more flexible or freelance, like virtual assisting or makeup artistry or whatever the case may be? I was like, you don't have to find something that you do that can make money at, but you also enjoy, since you have the safe space to figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it takes someone like you to point something out to somebody because you don't see what you're good at. The things that you're really good at are the things you just kind of assume everybody can do. And it takes somebody to say to you, you know, you're really good at that, to just opens a door and you just go, well, I'd never thought of that as a possibility. So I bet you her response was that she hadn't really thought about doing that. She was thinking about what job did she need to get that would fit around what she needed to do outside her working hours with her kids and so forth. Yeah.
So what inspired you to focus your mentorship on helping entrepreneurs like this?
Okay, so I pivoted loads, absolutely loads. Because when I started this journey, I started thinking what my skill base was. I had a skill base in marketing and I just thought, oh, well, that's what people get. So I tried to do it. But I'd had a bit of a break. And when I came back into it, the world had changed. I mean, literally, I'd gone out. I hadn't been doing it. I'd been gone off and done something completely different for a bit. And MySpace hadn't even been invented when I left that. And when I came back to doing marketing, this was MySpace had been and gone and Facebook was taking over. So it was like this huge shift. And when I started doing that, and I was like, I need to work out what's going on and I need to understand what's happening in my field a bit more. And I realized that actually an awful lot of people didn't know. They were talking as though they were experts that they didn't know. But so there was all this is what you have to do and this is what you have to do. And after a while, I just went, I can't function like this. This is destroying me. I don't feel like me. I don't feel that I can hold on to the vision that I have. I feel like I've got to sacrifice it all to this perception or this expectation, really, that this is what you do. So that made me realize that the individuality was really important to me and that I wanted to support other people to feel individual and to break through, ultimately break the rules and do things their own way. So that's how kind of how I came to it, was like by finding myself in a position where I was beginning to be suffocated and I wasn't happy. This business that I was doing, this label that I'd attached to myself, was not one that I could get on board with. Because even when I first started my business, I was trying to call it marketing and something, because that's where I never wanted to be just sort of labeled in that way. But I couldn't find a label that made sense. And it was only really once I realized what I was doing, when I sat down and worked with clients, I realized that I wasn't actually doing their marketing. I was doing the bit that came before that, that allowed them to do it. So I was really getting them to dive into who they were and why they were doing this and what was their vision and what was driving them. So kind of that's where it sort of like evolved from, sort of like slow and sometimes painful process of self-discovery.
Yeah.
Sometimes painful, yeah.
I love how you say like breaking the rules and doing something like if you enjoy it, why not do it? So like go against the grain. I've had conversations with people saying that the only way that you're going to grow your business is if you only do this one thing. And when I first started my business, for the first like 6-7 months, I got really overwhelmed. Like I wanted to throw in the towel because I kept listening to all the noise and it was getting really overwhelming. It's like, well, no, I want to do it my way. Like it doesn't have to be this one way of doing things, because like you said, everybody is their own person. You're individualized. You have your skill set, then why not get that going? You don't have to be like everybody else. That's boring.
No, there's two sides to a business, because there's what happens inside the business, which has to work for you. If you are somebody who needs to work in short bursts, then that's how you need to set it up. Whatever it is that you need in order to be happy in your business, you need. There isn't just one way of doing that. It has to be completely tailored to who you are. And then when you start to share your business, it makes zero sense to say there's only one way of doing things. So like say, you've got to do reels because that's the way to go with it. But there are people who learn and absorb information in different ways. So there are readers, there are listeners, there are watchers, or there are talkers actually as well. So, you know, people who have to talk it out. So why is this obsession, for example, with reels? How make any sense? It doesn't, because there are a lot of people who want to go much deeper. They don't like short form content. They want long form content, or they actually want to listen to somebody, or they want to read what somebody's written. So actually, when you start to look at it, it makes zero sense whatsoever to say, this is the way to do it. The only reason people do that is because they've managed to make it work for themselves. So they think it's a repeatable thing, which isn't, because you're a different person. So it doesn't work for you anyway, but it's repeatable. So because the bottom line of all business is how much money are you making? Now, we all know that that is not actually true, because if you're not happy in your business, it doesn't matter if you're making 6-7 figures.
Exactly. I honestly rather be happy with what I'm doing than making a lot of money, because like the way that my life is, both personally and professionally, I wouldn't have it any other way. I like the simplicity. I don't need all this money. Let's just day by day. Enjoy your time. You know what I mean?
It's like that story of the fisherman and the millionaire on holiday. Have you ever heard that one? He basically sees the fisherman sitting on the beach and he said, well, why are you sitting here? Why aren't you fishing? He said, well, I've done that. And he says, basically, but you should go out. You should be fishing all hours of the day and night so you can get another boat, and then you get multiple boats, and then you'll have loads of money so you can sit on the beach. And he just, yeah. So the story goes, he says, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. So everybody needs to have those same things. But I do think that the noise of this is what it should look like is so loud that, you know, I mean, you said it yourself, the first 6-7 months, you're getting really overwhelmed, but the noise of what success should look like is so loud that you hear it. And it actually is quite difficult to then listen to who you are and what you want. Then the next step is to find the courage to say, I'm not going to buy into that. I'm going to do it my way. There are some big steps there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think another thing that would help too is just finding your support network, like the people that are in your circle. That to me is greater than listening to everybody else. You know what I mean? Like Dana and I have each other, and then we might have a couple more people that we talk to.
And you need that support network, don't you? You really do.
True.
Exactly.
I mentioned it before. I have the same group of friends since elementary school that I talk to in like a group text, maybe once a week, maybe once a month. It depends on like what season of life we're in. And then I have like the random extra ones, like Sarah that has joined the ranks, my roommate friend, she's joined the ranks. But honestly, I still just mainly connect with this one group of like 5 friends from elementary school that we just stayed in contact with and kind of feed off each other's energies and things.
That's an amazing thing to have though, isn't it? Not everybody's got that. As you said, it's something that energizes you because you've got it. I do think when it comes to being an entrepreneur, that's something that you really need to cultivate from the outset, is having people around you who make you feel good about what you're doing. One of the things that frustrated me, it still frustrates me, but I think it is slowly shifting, but it really, really upset me in the early stages when I started my business, was that you weren't allowed to say when things were going wrong. You couldn't ever show the facade was not absolutely perfect. So it's still, there are a lot of people who will never admit when maybe they have a launch and it completely flops, or they're not doing so well. If you've got that group of people that you feel really comfortable to talk about that with, that is priceless.
Yeah, it is. Because you need those people to lean on. Like if you're having a bad day or lost a client or you're not making your money, you know, you need somebody to talk to about it. And another thing too, I know people are very private and that's fine. As long as you have your people that you can talk to about it, and that makes it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So question, for those that are new in the entrepreneur space and just building that community, because maybe they're like myself, like my dad still to this day, I've been doing this for 4 years now and does not understand what I do. For those that are in somewhat of the same boat, do you have strategies or exercises that entrepreneurs can use to kind of cultivate that authenticity within their business?
The most important thing that I encourage anyone to do is to create some space in their business. And the reason I want them to create space in their business is because it is impossible to hear your own inner voice, which is the thing that you need more than anything else. It is impossible if you're always doing, you're always absorbing information. There needs to be some time when you have the opportunity to just check in and just say, okay, I'm actually not feeling that comfortable with that thing, or that's what's calling me and I'm not making any space to move in that direction. So that ability to listen to that inner voice, because it's incredibly wise, is, I think, the single most important thing. Because when you get good at listening, and it's a muscle, you have to work at it. But when you get good at listening to it, then when something comes up or someone's talking to you, you're going to know very much more quickly whether or not it's the right thing to be listening to. You're going to start to go, no, that does not chime with me at all. So I don't want to know, or that person isn't making me feel good. They might be really in their energy. They might be really high energy and they'll ramp you up and then you come away from it and you're just like completely hit the deck. That sort of situation is really not helpful when you're just starting out. The more space you create to listen to yourself, the faster you will make progress. It is a classic of slow down to speed up. Because you just have that time. Maybe create a practice at the beginning of your workday, or create a practice at the end of your workday, or maybe take a break in the middle. Whatever works for you, having a little bit of time to just check in, listen to yourself, process what's been going on, then you will learn what's right for you. And if you learn what's right for you, you will be able to sift out a whole load of things very, very quickly, and you will make more progress more quickly, which is what everybody wants.
Yeah, for sure. Like taking the time to process something, I definitely understand that, because let's say something challenging happens and you can be quick to react to it, like in the moment and make a decision. But then what if it's not the right decision? Like sometimes you do have to be quick on your feet, but there are often times where you have to like, okay, what just happened, and process the information. Because I've been in a situation where I had to take the weekend last weekend because of something happened. And I had to take time to like, okay, what do I want from it and process my feelings before I just went off on a tangent and like maybe had not say something that I didn't want to say. So taking the time to process that or just anything little as well. Let's say you're working today and you're like, oh no, I made a mistake on my client work. Step back, take a breather and not have it like affect you as much.
One of the things that I think nobody ever mentions is the fact that rejection is actually going to be a huge part of the journey. You're going to ask for opportunities and be said no. You're going to do some work and it's not going to go so well or whatever. So there's a lot of emotional stuff that goes on. And if you don't have the time, as you said, to process that and work through it, then you won't learn from it. And if you don't learn from it, then you're going to keep on making the same mistakes or experiencing the same things. So that space, I don't think I can put a price on it in terms of business, because we've got this culture of productivity. And if you're not doing something, then you're not being productive. And sometimes the most productive thing that you can do is to stop working.
Yeah.
Because you're recharging, you're processing, you're just working through things. And you'll never be truly creative in your business if you don't make space for the creativity to happen. And the creativity, as we all know, the best ideas to come to us when we are driving or we're busy with the kids or whatever, they're the ones when the best ideas land. And that's because we're not doing the work. And that's the best lesson you can have, is like, take some time away from it, because trust me, the ideas will pop. Whatever, if it's a tricky situation and you need to work out how to navigate through it, you'll work that out when you're not thinking about it.
I feel like most of my creativity comes from when I'm in long car rides and my mind is allowed to wander because I don't have 12,000 things going all the time.
I know a lot of people get a lot of inspiration in the shower and stuff. So I know a few people who've got pens for the shower screen so they can write it down.
You know, it's funny. I was just going to say, like, I always carry around like my notebook with me, like, or even just have it nearby. So if something does come to mind, I can write it down real quick. But now that you mentioned pens for the shower, that's interesting, because things come to my mind so often in the shower. I'm just like, I get out and I go, where'd it go? Like, I don't have it on me.
Yeah, it just goes poof. It tends to happen to me when I'm out and about. So I just got Google Keep with Notes app, because it does the voice as well. So I can just speak into it if I'm sort of like got my hands tied or whatever. So that's how I do it. I get it all down there. There's lots of ways of doing it. It's what works for you.
I love that. The shower is a good one. I'm going to remember that. That's going to like my whole weekend. I'm now going to have like a marker something, because it is those random places. It's not when I'm walking around or like at the grocery store. It's literally in the car. Or I had a good example. I think it was yesterday. I was thinking about something with my kids. It's always about my kids. I had to look for a document because I'm signing my son up for kindergarten, and you need like 12 documents that you have to show, like they live with you and this and that and the third. And I couldn't find his birth certificate. It wasn't in the folder that I normally did. I would have it in. I was like, well, I know I have it because I had to have it last year. And for 2 days, I mulled over, like, how am I going to get several counties away to go get this document? And I think I was cleaning the bathroom. So maybe it's something to do with the bathroom in general. And then I was like, wait, I uploaded it last year. So maybe I can go into the system and download it to re-upload it into the new packet. And it worked. Problem solved. But I had to like get away from my computer and my filing cabinet to like find the solution to this ridiculous problem that if you don't have children, you don't have to worry
about. Yes. Even for us, three counties away is just like a headache.
It would take half of my day. Like, I would have to drop my children off, drive all the way there because it's at least 2 hours, however long it takes me to get the document, and then 2 hours back. So by then, I'd probably have to pick up the children from school.
Yeah, whole day.
Hey there, listeners. Ever feel like you're struggling to connect with customers or lead your team effectively? That's where soft skills come in.
Entrepreneur Encounter isn't just another podcast. We're a community dedicated to helping early stage entrepreneurs like you master the soft skills that make or break a business.
technical skills are important, but without communication, collaboration, and confidence, your business might never get off the ground to the next level.
In our membership, Dana and I share actionable insights and tips to help you nurture the soft skills you need to thrive.
Give you access to bonus content, workshops, and a network of like-minded entrepreneurs who are all on the same journey.
We'll teach you how to boost your confidence,
become a leader who inspires and motivates your team,
navigate conflict like a pro,
to resolve disagreements without drama and build stronger relationships,
communicate clearly and concisely, get your message across, build trust, and close the deal.
If you're ready to take your business to the next level, join the circle by clicking the link in the show notes.
So I picked up on a few soft skills that directly connect with what you do. So active listening, creativity, definitely collaboration and adaptability. Like these are all essential soft skills for entrepreneurship. But as we look toward the future of where entrepreneurship is going, do you have any input or thoughts on the trends or shifts that you anticipate on how aspiring entrepreneurs can prepare themselves for the change of working for someone versus working for themselves?
I think there are lots of changes at the moment. The whole field is fluid at the moment. And soft skills, to me, are the ones that are rising to the top. So leadership has always been this idea of this like strong leaders. And now I think we're getting what I would call quiet leaders coming through. These are people with a very strong sense of purpose and sense of direction or a vision of what they want to create. But they don't want to be highly visible, loud, whatever. They want to be really quiet leaders. It's leading from the middle. Do you know what I mean? It's like being in the middle of the pack and leading. My analogy for this is, you know, starling flocks, the murmurations, the huge flocks of starlings. I don't know if you've ever seen them, where they all act as one. And you've got maybe 20,000 birds and they're all flying. I was always curious about how, you know, is there a leader to that? And what it is that one starling will make a slight change and they're in the middle of that group. The effect ripples out and the whole thing moves. So I kind of see quiet leadership like that. It's your ability to influence in a positive way the people around you, because that then changes the culture around you and that changes the wider culture. It keeps on rippling out. So I think that sort of quiet leadership is on the rise. The other soft skill that I think is becoming increasingly important, I'm seeing this reflected back to me, even in mainstream about how people are talking, is that more intuitive awareness of what to do. So that is a soft skill to me is rising. But without a shadow of a doubt, I think the most important soft skill is your ability to communicate in a constructive way. Because in a world where there's more disconnection brewing, you know, we're getting more automated, we're getting more disconnected from each other. The ability to connect with people and be able to have a direct conversation with them, whether that's in a good situation or a tricky situation, is, I think, the single most important skill that's going to support people moving forward. Because it's getting more and more difficult for people to find situations where they can have conversations. If you think about young people today, they're so tech orientated that their ability to learn how to communicate is reducing other than through texts. Definitely, if you're starting out and you're working on your communication skills and your quiet leadership skills, I think you're going to be extremely well positioned to find your place in the overall picture. I can see the likes of, you know, Elon Musk coming down while the quieter people actually rise up, because they're making a real difference to people through their soft skills.
That's what I want to do. That's how I see my path. I'm not like, whoa, look at me type of person. I love people. I love to interact with people. Communication is one of my love languages. Like, I love talking. Like, I try to connect with people in real life, or even if it's over like a Zoom call, because that's the foundation of any relationship. Because as a business, yes, you can market your business on social media, but social media only goes a long way. So why not have a conversation? It has nothing to do with like trying to pitch your services or like, hey, buy my stuff. But it's more so you're going to get to know people on a deeper level than just some random thing that you saw online. So communication definitely needs to happen more than it does.
Yeah, exactly. And you can do so much through your intention. The intention that you have for what you want to do speaks volumes about how you do it. And that's important, having those values that hold that process. That's one of the very first things that I do with any client is to work on their values, because their values determine what's right for them, how they communicate and how they instill that confidence. And the more you're leaning into that, the more confident you'll become. And of course, you're going to trip up, because everybody does with their confidence. Every time you get challenged on it, you're going to go, have I got it? Have I got the skills? Am I good enough to do this? So that's one of the things that happens. And we need to sort of like lean into our communication skills more to find our way of doing it.
Sarah and I, even though we have our episodes on soft skills, communication always comes out as our foundation with your teams, with your clients, with your network. It all boils down to communication.
Absolutely.
So for our listeners and people within our groups, our social networks, if anyone is interested in learning more from you, gathering resources, like how can they connect with you, Polly?
Welcome to come over to my website, which is just pollyhearsey.co.uk. They can find me over there. And obviously, you can add links from there to all my social media, if that's what you want to do. I've got my blogs on my website, YouTube channels, whatever. It's lots of places to find me. I have the advantage of having a fairly unusual name, so I am very easy to find.
That does help.
Yeah, it does.
Well, to all of our listeners, all the tools, resources, and ways to connect will be in the show notes. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe. And until next time.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Remember, soft skills aren't just some fluffy buzzwords that get thrown around in the corporate world. They're the key to unlocking your full potential as a professional and a human being. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself and seek out opportunities to improve your soft skills. Sarah and I have a variety of workshops, online courses, and complimentary clarity calls for you to practice in real time with us. Links are always in the show notes. And be sure to join us next time for more insights, tips, and tricks to help you succeed in your entrepreneur encounter.